From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty with the news on this day in Maine, Wednesday, July 10th, 2019. A new report from the U.S. Government Accountability Office says efforts by the Department of Homeland Security to reduce staffing shortages on the U.S. border with Canada could be hindered because of an executive order signed by President Donald Trump early in his term that focuses border security at the southern border. A 9-year-old girl from Yarmouth testified before a congressional committee this morning on the impact of type 1 diabetes on her life and the importance of continuing a program that funds research into its cause. Ruby Anderson spoke with the Aging Committee about the special diabetes program, funding for which is due to expire at the end of September. Anderson says she's happy that the devices she used to manage her insulin levels have improved, but that's not enough.
I wish my diabetes would just disappear. And senators, I don't want my brothers and sisters to get type 1 diabetes. We need more research to find a cure. We need to figure out what causes type 1 diabetes so we can stop it.
Maine Republican Senator Susan Collins chairs the Aging Committee and is a co-chair of the Senate Diabetes Caucus and invited Anderson to testify. The special diabetes program last year funded $150 million for National Institutes of Health research on type 1 diabetes. And Maine agriculture officials are asking the federal government to help out wild blueberry growers as they deal with the effects of the U.S.'s trade disputes. In a letter sent to the USDA earlier this week, Maine Agriculture Commissioner Amanda Beal says Maine's wild blueberry growers should be included in a federal program that provides direct aid to farmers like soybean and cherry growers whose industries have been hurt. State agriculture officials say wild blueberry sales to China declined last year after the state exported nearly 2 million pounds the year before. Greg Bridges, a blueberry grower in the Calais area, says federal assistance could make a difference for many local growers.
And anything right now could help farmers pay their bills, try to get out of the business or to move to a different market.
The USDA has in the past bought millions of dollars in surplus berries, but in its letter, the state says those funds didn't directly finance the growers themselves. In weather tonight, partly cloudy, lows around 50 in the far north to the 60s in the south. Tomorrow, clouds increasing with a chance of inland showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon, showers around the state at night. Maine's congressional delegation is appealing directly to President Trump to intervene in a federal rulemaking process aiming to protect the endangered North Atlantic right whale. But it could cause large-scale disruption in this state's lobster industry. Fred Bever has the story.
In a letter to the president, Maine's four members of Congress say the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's model rules are based on incomplete data and untested science. First District Representative Shelley Pingree says Maine lobstermen support action to protect the whales, whose numbers have dwindled to fewer than 420 over the last decade. But she says they should not have to pull half of their rope out of the water, as proposed, without better evidence that their gear is, in fact, responsible for dangerous entanglements with the whales.
My biggest worry was we're going to ask our fishermen to comply with a whole bunch of new ideas, and it still won't fix things for the real problems that the right whale is facing today.
But conservation groups that are suing for quicker federal action to protect the whales were outraged by the letter. Emily Green is an attorney with the Maine chapter of the Conservation Law Foundation. She says that a broad group of stakeholders convened by NOAA, called the Take Reduction Team, or TRT, had signed off on the proposed rules with near unanimous consent.
This letter is obstructing and undermining a long overdue process in which the lobster fishery had significant representation and influence that resulted in a negotiated plan of action. The Maine delegation's letter indicates a disregard for the Endangered Species Act and the Take Reduction Team process, not to mention all of the Mainers that are extremely alarmed by the dire situation facing these whales.
Second District Congressman Jared Golden is defending the letter, which calls for a meeting with White House officials, details arguments against NOAA's proposed actions, and suggests that Trump's intervention would be in line with his regulatory philosophy. Golden says that the Endangered Species Act and pressure from special interests are putting an unfair burden on the industry.
So certainly they may be able to make a case from their perspective that the law is going to force the lobster community to comply. But that doesn't mean that they're actually solving the problem that they claim that they are. In my opinion, that's a moral issue, and it's a perfect example of why sometimes the law and government is not on the right side of an issue.
Golden says the lobster industry and its allies may have supported the proposed gear rule, but that was only after federal regulators made clear that they might otherwise impose a rule of their own making. Patrice McCarran, executive director of the Maine Lobstermen's Association, says the estimates of risk posed by the Maine fleet are based on a model that has yet to be peer-reviewed. And she says that since agreeing under pressure to the proposal, it's become more and more clear to Maine lobstermen that the broad rope removal requirement is not workable.
A fisherman could probably figure out a way to make that reduction, but collectively, because of the diversity of the fleet, we are bumping into safety issues, operational issues, economic issues. And to knit together a plan that will work for the Maine lobster fishery that will actually help right whales has proved to be far more difficult than we anticipated.
McCarran says the government should go back to the drawing board and set more realistic risk reduction goals. White House and NOAA officials could not immediately be reached for comments. Initial briefs in the conservation group's federal lawsuit seeking more robust action are due at the end of this week. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
And you can find the complete text of the delegation's letter to President Trump on our website, mainepublic.org. Maine taxpayers were granted some relief by the legislature and Governor Janet Mills in the session that just ended, but that doesn't mean they'll see much in the way of real cash. And as Mal Leary reports, people in some communities may actually see their property taxes go up.
As the legislative session ended and Governor Mills signed the two-year state budget into law, she drew attention to new laws and provisions aimed at lowering taxes.
In this budget, we provide more property tax relief to hardworking Mainers.
That relief, she says, will come in the form of increased state funding for schools and a boost in state revenue sharing. But school funding is distributed through a complex formula that provides less funding to cities and towns with high property values. Revenue sharing sends a percentage of state sales and income taxes to the cities and towns on a per capita basis. But nothing in Maine law requires any of that money to be used to lower property taxes. In a study by the Maine Heritage Policy Center, a conservative advocacy group found that it rarely is.
Between 2010 and 2015, in that report, we found no evidence of decreases to property taxes, despite the fact that revenue sharing had been, the amount been increasing.
Center analyst Adam Crapow says the organization has long argued that the best way to provide tax relief is through lower income taxes, so that less money is collected by the state in the first place. But Sarah Austin, an analyst with the Progressive Maine Center for Economic Policy, says local municipal officials are scrambling to find a way to pay for unmet needs, including investments in local infrastructure, long delayed by the recession.
There is a very large hole that's been created for years of underfunding at the local level. Always a question of direct property tax relief. Does it necessarily mean that your property taxes go down, or does it mean that they go up less?
Austin says programs like revenue sharing may not bring down property taxes, but they can help prevent taxes from going up. She believes an increase in the homestead exemption, which lawmakers approved this year, will help some property taxpayers.
What homestead does is it shields a certain portion of your home value. So it was $20,000 of your home value that you weren't paying taxes on if it was your primary home. Now the budget increased that to $25,000 that you do not pay taxes on.
But Adam Crapow of the Heritage Policy Center says the benefit may only last a year or two as towns make upward adjustments in the local property tax rates.
Towns and cities continue to increase their property taxes, they may not see that reduction anymore.
Lawmakers also made the property tax credit available to more Mainers. That's a credit on the state income tax, which Mike Allen, the Associate Commissioner for Tax Policy, says could provide a significant benefit to low-income Mainers that qualify.
With this change, we're talking about an average benefit potentially of over, you know, $500, possibly $600 property tax relief benefit directly from the state.
And Allen says a change made to the tax relief fund, established a few years ago, will likely mean a check worth a little over $100 to every taxpayer at some point this year. The fund was originally set up to provide for a cut in the personal income tax rates once the balance in the program reached $30 million. Allen expects that will be reached this year. But Adam Crapo of the Heritage Policy Center repeats his case for lowering income tax rates as the best approach to providing real tax relief.
I think that would have, you know, had a wider net, and it probably would have affected people more than, you know, $100.
Lawmakers carried over hundreds of bills to the January session of the legislature, and some are aimed at providing property tax relief. Their fate may depend on whether the Maine economy and state revenues continue to grow. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join us tomorrow on Maine Calling at 1 o'clock for a conversation about Maine's film scene. I'm Nora Flaherty.